This is the BBC.
This podcast is supported by advertising outside the UK.
BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
Hello, welcome to this Moneybox podcast. New figures from a debt charity show a sharp rise in the money owed for council tax, and this week, for most, the bills go up again. And a £600 million a year tax cut for better-off households with children. Half a million will be able to keep more of their child benefit, so how do they make sure they get it? But first, national insurance. A tax millions of working-age people pay on their wages is being cut this weekend for the second time this year.
From April the 6th, employee national insurance will be cut by another 2p from 10% to 8%.
Chancellor Jeremy Hunt making the announcement in his spring budget last month. The main rate of national insurance has now fallen by a third, from 12% last year to just 8% from today. The savings for individuals will depend on what they earn, of course, the biggest savings, by the highest paid who pay the most tax. And for some on lower incomes, the cut in national insurance will be worth less than the extra tax due because tax-free allowances have been frozen while wages have gone up. Our reporter Emma Devlin spoke to people in a park in Banbridge in Northern Ireland.
Well, definitely the pay isn't going as far at the minute. I'm just scraping by, Compared to where I was maybe 15 years ago, I'm definitely far worse off.
It should. I do think it would make a difference, but I'd probably be better to see it sort of to know that way, but I do think that probably would make a difference.
I was aware there was a cut coming up. I didn't know it was as soon. I don't think it's going to make that big a difference to people's outgoings, having to pay that, well, a few pounds less.
How are you feeling about your pay and the cost of living at the moment?
Well, it doesn't get you very far. I work a lot of extra shifts now, so, yeah.
Do you feel that that cut is going to make much of a difference to you?
No, probably not. I'm sure everything else is going up, isn't it?
Are you aware that there's to be a cut to national insurance this weekend?
I didn't realise that until you told me.
So this is actually the second cut of the year. Did you know
right.
that?
No. It mightn't make that much of a difference for all I actually earn, you know, that way, so... Although anything's better than nothing, every little helps.
People in Banbridge talking to Emma Devlin. With me in the studio is Alex Clegg, an economist at the Resolution Foundation, a research organisation that concentrates on people with low and middle income. Alex Clegg, first, who pays national insurance and how will this cut work?
So it's paid by people of working age on earned income only. That's how it differs from income tax. There's around 27 million workers paying it. And at the start of 2023-24, the rate was about 12%, and it's cut to 10% in January, and then it's going to be cut to, again to 8% from today.
Yes, and those people in Banbridge that we heard from, many weren't aware of the changes, so they will have had one cut already, won't they? And I thought on average pay it'll be about £30 a month more, £38 a month more in your pay packet. So do people not notice amounts like that?
I think there's been so much going on with, you know, with the cost of living crisis, with energy bills soaring and things like that. I think there's a lot of changes coming in as well in April. I think a lot of people, you know, are feeling a lot of pressure, and so they might not notice something so small. But then, of course, like the interviewee said, every little helps.
Yes, and so the second reduction this year, what's it worth at different wage levels?
So it's worth up to £1,500 this year, but that's for the richest earners. That's for people earning over £50,270, and it kind of gradually ramps up to that amount. The average is about £500.
Right. So about £500, and of course, the fact the Treasury told me the average over the whole two cuts was 682, but that's not someone on average wages, that's the whole average. And what about the personal allowance, though? Because that has been frozen. That's the amount of income we can have tax-free, isn't it? That's been frozen. Has the fact that it's not gone up cost more for some people than this cut in the national insurance?
Yes, it has. I think to fully understand how people are going to feel a difference, you have to consider both changes together. We estimate that four in five employees will still be better off, But people earning less than 21,000 would have been better off just with the normal threshold uprating.
And of course, 21,000 is round about minimum wage, isn't it? Or the new national living wage is a bit below.
Just a bit below. So people on national living wage will see a small increase in their take home pay. And obviously the national living wage has gone up a lot as well.
Yes.
It's typically part-time workers that are going to be worse off than they were.
Right. And of course, the personal allowance freeze, which we mentioned, and we've talked about it a lot on Moneybox. But when we spoke to the Treasury about this, it likes to go back 5 prime ministers and 7 chancellors, count them, to 2010, and says that it's risen above inflation since then. And in fact, it would be less now if it had just risen with inflation. So that's an advantage for people.
Yeah. And the big policy of the one of the big policies of the David Cameron, George Osborne years was to increase that tax threshold above inflation. But freezes of the last 4 years have been reducing the value again. And we've estimated that by about 2027, we're going to be back where we started from, as if there'd been no change.
Right. So they've given it to us, they're sort of taking it back year by year. And just tell me fairly briefly about self-employed people, because they're getting cuts as well, aren't they?
Yeah, so self-employed people pay 2 kinds of national insurance, just to make it a bit more complicated. So they pay, at the moment, 9% on earnings above 12,570, and they also pay a flat rate of £3 a week, £3.35. Yeah. And the flat rate's getting scrapped, and the 9% is getting cut to 6%.
Yes, from 9% to 6%. These changes, as I understand it, will come in immediately. So from anything you earn from today, I just hope that listeners notice. Alex Clegg from the Resolution Foundation, thanks. Now, not all taxes are going down or staying the same. Council tax has risen from this week for householders in England and Wales, usually by a lot more than inflation. That'll be another blow to the increasing number of people who just can't afford to pay it. Figures shared exclusively with Moneybox by the debt charity Step Change show that 1 in 3 of those who came to it for help were behind on their council tax payments. Their average council tax debt was more than £1,700. And Citizens Advice supports those findings, saying that for those who came to it with debt, council tax arrears were second only to energy bills. Our reporter Sarah Rogers went to Wrexham in Wales, where bills are up almost 10%.
The town, of course, has become famous for its football club's ties with Hollywood after being bought by actors Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhenney. There are tourists outside having their photos taken. I'm going to go a little bit further down the road to the butty van.
Bacon and mushrooms for me, please.
To talk about something a lot less glamorous, council tax, because here it's gone up by just under 10%. So if you're in an average bandy property, that's £171 a year.
How you doing? You all right?
I'm a steward. Been a steward for 22 years.
Right, what are Ryan and Rob like?
Fantastic.
Are they?
Yes. They're very nice and polite to everybody.
And what's your name, sir?
David.
David, can I talk to you about something slightly less glamorous?
Go on.
Council tax bills.
Beyond a joke. Way beyond a joke.
Will you struggle to pay that extra?
Oh, God, I'm struggling now.
Will it put you into debt?
Yeah, it's already out.
Your council tax specifically, yeah?
Yeah. Never mind anything else. It's blooming hard going. Very hard going.
We started off the conversation quite positive, talking about Wrexham and your job as a steward. And
but, you know, I'm struggling. Absolutely struggling.
Yes, boys.
Could I just have chips and beans, please?
I've just had mine, yeah. It's gone up to £2,500, mine has. I can't see where it all goes myself. But
yeah, do you have an understanding of where that money is spent and what it's for?
Well, it's to empty your bins, isn't it? And for the police and... But, God, I think I'd empty my own bin, I think, every week, to be honest.
I couldn't tell you one thing about council tax or anything. I've gone straight over my head. Luckily, I'm still living at home.
Does it put you off?
Yeah, it does put you off. The lad I work with now, he's just bought a house, actually. He's moving in 6 weeks. I hear him briefly talking in the van on the way to work and stuff, moaning about, oh, I didn't realise you have to pay all this for this and this for that.
Oh, that looks nice. What did you order?
A flat breakfast. But I've been avoiding it for a while because we have been cutting back as it is anyway, so yeah.
I've been talking to people about the council tax bills.
I've only just had mine today when I put it on the side and I haven't even looked yet.
That's
so
exactly
not yet.
You haven't looked?
No, I haven't even looked yet. No. So, no.
Do you know how much they're going up here?
No.
Well, just short of 10%.
It is going to be shocking, yeah. So, yeah, no, I haven't looked. I'm not going to be looking today anyway.
Are you just burying your head in the sand?
My head in sand, yeah, definitely, yeah. But, yeah, we're going to struggle.
People in Wrexham talking to Sarah Rogers, and Sarah's in our Salford studio. Sarah, the rising council tax this year particularly high. What does council tax pay for and how is that level decided?
Well, it pays for things like rubbish collections, like you heard there in Wrexham, as well as social services and the police. Ordinarily, depending on what they do, local authorities in England can raise council tax by up to 4.99% and go even further with government permission. Some have done that this year in Birmingham, where the council has effectively declared bankruptcy. The rise will be 21% over the next 2 years.
Gosh, so how much more can people generally expect to pay?
Well, the average bill rise in England will be £106 for a bandy property. That takes the total to £2,171. In Wales, where councils have more freedom to set rates, the average increase is £145. The equivalent tax is called rates in Northern Ireland, but it pays for the local services in the same way. The rises there this year vary from around 4 to 10%, but in Scotland, council tax has been frozen.
And what have councils told you about why it's gone up so much?
The Local Government Association, which represents councils in England and Wales, told me that local authorities are starting the financial year in a precarious position. In Wrexham, the council echoed that and said costs and demands for services were up. The Welsh Government says it was feeling equivalent pressure as a result of investment decisions by the UK government. Meanwhile, the Department for Housing told me it recognised the challenges and there was an additional £600 million support package for councils across England.
And also, Sarah, if you have a second home, then council tax could go up even more.
Yes, from 2025, councils in England can charge up to double the full rate of council tax on properties not being used as a main home. In Scotland and Wales, those powers are already in use. In Wales, councils can charge up to quadruple the tax.
Goodness. Thanks, Sarah. Well, listening to that is Peter Tutton, head of policy at the debt charity Step Change. And Peter Tutton, we heard from David earlier, who said he's in debt already. How many come to you in the last year with council tax arrears, and how's that changed?
So about a third of the people we see have council tax arrears. And actually, that's been going up for a while. We can take it back to about 10 years ago when council tax support schemes were cut. And since then, of course, the cost of living is putting more pressure on households, so we're seeing people with council tax and higher bills.
And how much is the average debt that when they come to you?
So what we're seeing now is council tax bills on average of over £1,700. Go back 3 years and it was about £1,100, so that's a huge increase.
Yeah, that's nearly a year's council tax for most people. And it may sound a silly question, but how do you expect this rise that's just happened to affect those debt figures?
Well, we think it's going to add to the pressures households are already under. We're seeing council tax debts rise for a combination of both cost of living increases, but bills going up. So that's going to make the situation worse.
Yes. Now, local, you mentioned council tax reduction scheme that helps people on low incomes in councils. But councils now, as you mentioned, set their own levels for that and their own rules within a sort of framework. The Local Government Association, it speaks, of course, for councils in this area, says a record number of people are claiming that help. If they're claiming it, why are they still in debt?
So firstly, it's good that councils are helping more people to claim. That's important. But council tax support won't necessarily cover the whole of your council tax liability. So what we have at the moment, and is people who are facing a liability for council tax that they just can't afford to pay. So it's an impossible situation that is then made worse by the kind of quite heavy enforcement of council tax debt that can follow.
Yeah, so I mean, certainly in England, everyone, however low their income, has to pay something. Is that right? Almost everywhere in England.
It depends. It varies, which doesn't help from local authority to local authority. But you know, there will be people on very low incomes will face a liability that they just can't afford.
Yes. And people can't afford it. They come to you with this big debt. What if they can't pay? What happens then?
So if people can't pay, see, councils will send reminders if you missed instalment. The current rules on how council tax debt is enforced mean that can accelerate the year's balance very, very quickly. Then councils will go, they get a liability order, which adds costs. Then very often we find it being passed out to bailiffs, which adds considerable costs, which is obviously very stressful. And people end up doing things like borrowing more to deal with the bailiff enforcement.
Yes, because that's something that frightens people, bailiff enforcement. And as you say, you've got people who can't afford to pay their bill, and then they have to pay more to the bailiffs and through the whole process. And ultimately, can people go to jail for this?
So in England, it's still in, there is a sort of imprisonment at the end, but it's at the end of a long process, and it doesn't happen to many people. I think what's more important is that we don't have good standards, good practice standards that are binding on local authorities to ensure they do the right things in collections, and we don't have statutory regulation of bailiffs that makes sure that that enforcement is fair and doesn't cause more problems.
Yes, and so people listening who maybe they've not come to anyone for help, or they just think it's going to be very hard to pay the bill this year, or they're already perhaps in arrears, what should they do?
Well, first, it's always worth talking to your council. Actually, councils do a lot of good stuff, and it may be that you can get council tax support and other help that you haven't claimed.
There's other discounts, aren't there, in various circumstances?
Exactly, and other pots of help that may be able to help you. If you're struggling with council tax and maybe other debts as well, you know, go and seek some advice from Step Change, Citizen Advice, a free debt advice charity that can help you out and deal with you, help you out with multiple debt problems.
Yes, and as we often say, always the free debt advice. Don't free pay anyone advice. For yeah. it. Peter Tutton from Step Change, thanks. And of course, as Peter was saying, council tax is just one bill that's going up. And on this week's Moneybox Live on Wednesday at 3, Felicity Hannah is looking at ways to manage your budget when money is tight. Maybe you can share some useful tips or tell us about the problems which rising prices are causing you and worrying you. Email moneybox at bbc.co.uk. UK. She'd love to hear your thoughts. 500,000 better off parents get a £600 million a year tax cut from this weekend. They're in a household with dependent children where at least one parent has an income between £50,000 and £80,000 a year. The means test that effectively takes child benefit back from better off parents is being relaxed for the very first time since it began in 2013. From today, each individual partner can earn up to £60,000 a year before their payments begin to be taken away by what's called the high income child benefit charge, and that's up from £50,000. The highest paid partner can earn up to £80,000 before child benefit is taxed away completely. And it is a valuable benefit to have. It's from today, in fact, it's over £1,300 a year tax-free for one child, £3,000 a year tax-free for three. Some Moneybox listeners told us what they made of the changes.
I'm married with three children, three girls. We've never claimed any child benefits. The main reason being that I've always been in that upper income whereby we haven't been eligible. And the changes now perhaps mean that we might be eligible, but I haven't looked into it in a lot of detail.
I have a two-year-old son, currently in nursery, 3 days a week at the moment, whilst my wife and I work full-time. My salary is higher than what the upper limit was prior to the changes that came through in the budget, so it will be a benefit to us. The only challenge I've got with it is it feels quite complex to work out some of the, you know, the mechanisms in terms of if you're over 60 up to 80, then you have to pay some back. That's kind of where some of the challenges are.
I am married with two young daughters, 7, and the other one will shortly be 5 years old, so as you can imagine, it's a busy family life. When my first daughter was born, I claimed it for about 6 months. So that was 7-8 years ago, when my salary was lower and I was able to claim it without the tax implications. And then I think as my salary grew within about 12 months or so, I then stopped claiming for it. But then I think the seminal of it, isn't it, where you register so that my wife still continues to get the benefit of the pension contribution. So I think I just left it at that point in time, and I obviously haven't gone back to it since.
I do believe that those that earn more should pay more, but the cost of living crisis affects everybody, and we're definitely not immune from that.
I guess I'm thinking of, well, how much is it worth the hassle of messing about with tax returns, etc.? Probably about £160, £170 a month, isn't it? So you can imagine that's a substantial difference. I mean, that's 2 weeks worth of food shopping. That's you know, that's the difference between us potentially going on holiday, you know, for a week. Yeah, it make an enormous difference.
Some Moneybox listeners there on the changes. Now, although the change begins this weekend, many of those affected will actually have to take action to benefit from it. With us is Dr. Marianne Stevenson, Director of the Women's Budget Group, which provides a feminist economic perspective. Dr. Stevenson, we heard from male partners there. They're the ones who contacted us, and they're often the higher earner. But this is an issue that affects women. Child benefit is for women, isn't it?
Well, child benefit is for children, but it's normally claimed by the mother. And we know that over 80% of the people who are currently not claiming child benefit who would be entitled to it are women. So, it's predominantly a women's issue.
And just tell us a bit more about how this high income child benefit charge works and what's changing, how it will be from today.
So previously, child benefit started being tapered off if there was a partner, if the one parent was earning more than £50,000 a year. And by the time you reached somebody earning over £60,000 a year, you didn't have any entitlement at all. That's now being changed. So the threshold is being raised to £60,000 a year, and you can earn up to £80,000 a year before it's taken away. But that's obviously based on individual income, not household income. So you could have previously two partners earning just under £50,000 a year who were entitled to child benefit, whereas, for example, a lone parent earning just over £50,000 a year wouldn't be entitled to anything.
Yes, and that's what we get a lot of complaints about, I must say, that particular unfairness as they see it. And of course, from now on, if a single parent or one partner earns more than £60,000 a year, then it begins to bite. But between them, a couple could have just about £120,000. I mean, that seems a high income for a couple to many people. And that rule hasn't been changed, has it?
Well, I mean, what I would say is that I don't think child benefit should be means tested at all. I think child benefit is a recognition of the additional costs of having children. There are countries around the world, lots of European countries, that provide a non-means tested benefit payment to families to recognise the cost of receiving children. It's absolutely true that higher income people should pay more, but we shouldn't target parents in particular who have higher costs. We should look at doing that through the mainstream tax system.
Yes, and of course, when it was introduced, it was to replace a tax allowance, which, of course, people got without a means test, wasn't it? This is going back to 1978, 1975. But now this means test started in 2013. Even the Chancellor, though, says this wasn't fair because it penalises those households with one high earner. And he said the government will consult on moving to a household-based system by April 26. Given that I know you don't think it should be means tested at all, but what are your thoughts on that change and how it might happen?
Well, we're concerned that that might lead to household best-based tax assessments. I mean, this is one of the problems at the moment with the high income benefit charge, that it undermines the principle of independent taxation because it makes the tax that one person pays dependent on the actions of the other person. And independent taxation is very important to women because they tend to be the lower earners in a household. If you have joint taxation, what tends to happen is the man uses the entire tax allowance against his earnings. And so if a woman's, for example, considering returning to work after a career break, if you combine the marginal tax rate she'd be paying with, say, the cost of childcare, she may decide it's not worth doing,
sure,
which means she's less likely to enter the labour market.
Yes, the Treasury did say the government remains committed to the principle of independent taxation, but we'll see how that works out. And briefly, if you would, Marianne, more than one in 10 families don't claim child benefit now because of those hassles that we were hearing about earlier. Should they now claim?
Briefly. I think everybody who has a child should claim child benefit because it entitles you to national insurance contributions. So even if your partner has to pay that money back through their tax return, there's a lot of women who should be entitled to national insurance contributions because they're at home looking after a child. But if they're not claiming child benefit, they won't be. So it is worth making that claim, even if you have to pay it back.
Everyone should claim, and indeed, some people will be better off by doing so. Marianne Stevenson of the Women's Budget Group, thanks very much. Well, taxes fall and taxes rise, but the Moneybox podcast floats steadily along, whether the sea of money is rough or calm, providing your financial, if not moral, Compass. Never miss the numbers or points of detail or indeed jokes by subscribing on BBC Sounds, so every programme is delivered to your devices a couple of hours after broadcast exclusively on BBC Sounds. Many listeners feature on the show and you can get your name or problem in front of us by emailing moneybox@bbc.co.uk. We do read them all. In this podcast, the team was Sarah Rogers, Emma Devlin, Sandra Hardiel and Joe Krasner, studio manager Tavy James, studio producer Craig Henderson. Our editor is Jess Quayle. I'm Paul Lewis, and this was the BBC News Money and Work production for BBC Sounds. And now, Hidden Heroes from the Past.
I'm Helena Bonham Carter, and for BBC Radio 4, this is History's Secret Heroes, a new series of rarely heard tales from World War II.
None of them knew that she'd lived this double life. They had no idea that she was Britain's top female codebreaker.
We'll hear of daring risk-takers.
What she was offering to do was to ski in over the high Carpathian Mountains in minus 40 degrees.
Of course it was dangerous, but danger was his friend. Helping people was his blood.
Subscribe to History's Secret Heroes on BBC Sounds.
Wie Führung in Zeiten der Unsicherheiten und der multiplen Krisen geht, darüber sprechen wir in unserem Führungspodcast. Ich bin Kai Dierke.
Und ich bin Anke Huben. Seit 25 Jahren sind wir Vorstandsberater. Wir beantworten die Führungsfragen unserer Zeit, inspirierend und informativ.
Wir räumen mit den Mythen der Führung auf. Und wir geben an aktuellen Beispielen aus Wirtschaft und Politik konkrete Lösungsansätze.
Dierke und Huben, der Führungspodcast. Jetzt reinhören und souverän an der Spitze agieren.